You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So, hope you're having a good morning wherever you be, whatever you be doing. So, I want you to listen to something. I woke up to this morning. So, I've seen kind of a couple headlines about this, and I didn't pay it too much attention. But maybe I should have. In retrospect, maybe that was wrong of me. So I check out the news this morning, and I see another one of these headlines, right? California city, blah, 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 right? California town pushes back against planned coronavirus quarantine center. Now, I'd seen like headlines over the weekend about this, and it was Costa Mesa, where I live, right? This is an NBC News report, right? On the NBC Nightly News. So listen to this.
They were supposed to come here.
We have parks. There's a soccer field that kids play on.
30 to 70 patients who tested positive for coronavirus to be transferred as soon as Monday to Fairview Developmental Center in Costa Mesa, California.
It's not the kind of facility where you're isolated and you can quarantine individuals.
City officials said they found out about the government's plans on Thursday evening and immediately took action to stop it. On Friday, a district judge granted the city a temporary restraining order, stopping any transport of patients to Costa Mesa. In a court filing, city officials called Fairview a dilapidated complex surrounded by residential neighborhoods, saying it was not intended to house individuals infected with a highly contagious and deadly disease.
Our concerns at this time are the fact that we still have limited information in terms.
This is the police chief, Dan Stefano, Big Dan.
Of what actually is going to transpire with the quarantine coming in.
California HHS said Fairview is just one of the locations under consideration for this purpose. The news sparking outrage in this small Orange County community.
I don't want it to happen to my little grandbaby that lives with me that's 10 months old.
The episode underscoring the difficulties that lie ahead, as the CDC says they're bracing for the likely spread of coronavirus in the United States.
For example, there's an epidemic in China, but it isn't a pandemic for the world yet, but it very well could be.
Sarah joins us now from Costa Mesa. Sarah, this is an emergency injunction. How long will it last?
It's only in effect until Monday at 2 p.m. local time. At that point, it'll go before a federal judge here in California for review.
Hey, NBC News fans, thanks for checking out.
are you kidding me? So we have people that are infected by the coronavirus, all right? So where are we going to put them? Let's put them in the second largest metropolitan area in the nation. Yeah, the LA Orange County Basin. Hey, that's a great idea, man. Close to airports, close to shopping, great restaurant choices. Who said that? Promote that guy, man. Promote her. So, like, what in the hell, man? What happened to military bases? And let's, I mean, come on. Area 51? Hello? Out in the middle of nowhere, man. Like, what are you, it's like, to me, like, what would the argument possibly be to put them in a complex where they could come and go as they please? I mean, seriously. So, before I fire the Brown Star Cluster, I mean, yeah, I was looking at that in bed this morning. I'm like, time for me, Jack and Joe, to go up to Montana. Pay a little visit to Montana, man. Tell them to warm up the intern shed, because me and the boys going to come up and spend a little time, right? Not going to do the coronavirus here in Costa Mesa. I just, it's just like, what? It's just, you know, and then you hear in the report, it's just one of several locations. Why are we going to put people in non-secure facilities around urban centers? You know, let me tell you, and I don't care how big the urban center is, right? There's places where you could put people where they're not going to come in contact with anybody but health workers that are there to help them, that have all the bio gear and all the rest of that stuff. And at what point do you say, yeah, sorry, we've canceled all flights to China. We're not doing it. So it is now, I guess, in cities in Italy. Iran has closed the border with China, which is all good and fine, but don't be screwing around with Costa Mesa, man. Yeah, the corporate home of All Marine Radio. Like, what in God's name? Yeah. And so, like, Fairview. Fairview is like, is like 3 blocks away from my house. I don't know where that specific place is on Fairview, right? I don't recall it, which means it'll be really close, right? And I'll be like, what? I never knew that was there. Yeah, that's the way that shit works. So anyway, good. Yeah, on that note, good Monday morning. Hey, I've got another note. Okay, so now that Meghan Markle's not like a princess anymore, like, what value is she? Who gives a rip about anything Meghan Markle has to say? She's Harry's girlfriend, wife, mother of his child. Like, you know, you see them in public and all that. Like, okay, they're just another couple now. So go away. Okay, go away. I don't, you know, they're all over the news all the time. Okay, so they're not members of the royal family anymore. She's like the modern day Wallace Simpson. We got it. So right off into the sunset, man. You've been banished by the queen. Yeah, Meghan Markle. I'm not so much about her anymore. All right? Good looking girl. Like failed actress. Okay, successful, you know, girlfriend, wife now, very prominent, but you got what you wanted, now go away. So, and then one other article caught my eye. Here's an email. Hey, Matt, good luck with that. Do you still have your gas mask? I don't know that gas masks work against biological agents. Yeah, so stand by for the quarantine battle of Costa Mesa. I saw this article over the weekend. Now, this guy, Stephen Mosier, okay? First of all, here's the headline. Don't buy China story. The coronavirus may have been leaked from a lab. what now? This follows on the heels of a few articles that were written in the Washington Times, which is a, you know, the Post is the Washington liberal paper. Times is the Washington, D.C. Conservative paper. Okay. Headline, virus hit Wuhan, which is the city in China where it originated, has two laboratories linked to Chinese biological warfare program. Right? The Virology Institute in Wuhan has China's only secure lab for studying deadly virus. The deadly animal virus epidemic spreading globally may have originated in a Wuhan factory linked to China's covert biological weapons program, according to an Israeli biological warfare expert. Radio Free Asia this week rebroadcast a local Wuhan television report from 2015 showing China's most advanced virus research laboratory known as the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Radio Free Asia reported. The laboratory is the only declared site in China capable of working on deadly viruses. Danny Shoham, a former Israeli military intelligence officer who has studied Chinese biowarfare, said the institute is linked to Beijing's covert biological weapons program. Quote, certainly laboratories in the institute have probably been engaged in terms of research and development in Chinese biological weapons, at least collaterally, yet not as a principal facility of the Chinese biological warfare alignment, Mr. Shoham told the Washington Times. Work on biological weapons is conducted as part of a dual civilian military research and is definitely covert, he said in an email. Mr. Shoham holds a doctorate in medical microbiology. From 1970 to 1991, he was a senior analyst with the Israeli military intelligence for biological and chemical warfare in the Middle East and worldwide, holding the rank of lieutenant colonel. China in the past has denied having any offensive biological weapons. The State Department in a report last year said it suspects China has engaged in covert biological warfare work. The so that's from late January. What's the date on it? That's not the one I saw over the weekend. That's like January 24th. All right. This appeared over the weekend. Now, this guy is named Stephen Mosier. Okay. I ran across Stephen Mosier as I was, I don't know, whether it was South China Sea stuff or whether it was some other thing that I was researching, and I saw some of his stuff. So here's Stephen Mosier. Stephen Mosier is an American social scientist and author who specializes in anthropology, demography, and the Chinese population control. He's written a book called Bully of Asia in 2017. Right. And then another one called China Misperception. So he's pretty prominent writer relative to China. And his story, this story has been it's run around the world. Okay, so here's what Mosier postulates. Don't buy China's story. The coronavirus may have been leaked from a lab. In an emergency meeting in Beijing held last Friday, Chinese leader Xi Jinping spoke about the need to contain the coronavirus and set up a system to prevent similar epidemics in the future. A national security system to control biosecurity risk must be put in place, quote, to protect the people's health, Xi said, because lab safety is a national security issue. She didn't actually admit that the coronavirus, now devastating large swaths of China, had escaped from one of the country's bio-research labs. But the very next day, the evidence emerged suggesting that this is exactly what happened as the Chinese Ministry of Science and Technology released a new directive entitled Instructions on Strengthening Biosecurity Management in Microbiology Labs that Handle Advanced Viruses Like the Novel Coronavirus. Read that again. It sure sounds like China has a problem keeping dangerous pathogens in test tubes where they belong, doesn't it? And just how many microbiology labs are there in China that handle advanced viruses like the novel or the novel coronavirus? Question mark. It turns out in all of China, there's only one. And this one is located in the Chinese city of Wuhan that just happens to be the epicenter of this epidemic. That's right. China's only level 4 microbiology lab that is equipped to handle deadly coronaviruses, called the National Biosafety Laboratory, is part of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. What's more, the People's Liberation Army's top expert in biological warfare, Major General Chen Wei, was dispatched to Wuhan at the end of January. To help with the effort to contain the outbreak. According to the PLA Daily, People's Liberation Army, right? Chen has been researching coronaviruses since the SARS outbreak of 2003, as well as Ebola and anthrax. This would not be her first trip to the Wuhan Institute of Virology either, since this is one of only two bioweapons research labs in all of China. Does that suggest to you that the novel coronavirus known as SARS-CoV-2 may have escaped from that very lab and that Chen's job is to try to put the genie back in the bottle, as it were? It does to me. This is his opinion piece, right? Add to this China's history of similar incidents. Even the deadly SARS virus has escaped twice from the Beijing lab where it was and probably is being used in experiments. Both man-made epidemics were quickly contained, but neither would have happened if all proper safety precautions had been taken. And then there's a little-known fact of China. Some Chinese researchers are in the habit of selling their laboratory animals to street vendors after they finish experimenting on them. You heard that right. Instead of properly disposing of infected animals by cremation, as the law requires, they sell them on the side to make a little extra cash, or in some cases, a lot of extra cash. One Beijing researcher, now in jail, made $1 million selling his monkeys and rats on the live animal market, where they eventually wound up in someone's stomach. Also fueling suspicions about SARS-CoV-2 Tac-2's origin is a series of increasingly lame excuses offered by the Chinese authority as people began to sicken and die. The first blamed seafood. Then they pointed to snakes, bats, and even cute little scaly anteaters as the source of the virus. I don't buy any of this. It turns out that snakes don't carry coronavirus and that bats aren't sold at seafood markets. Neither, for that matter, are anteaters, an endangered species valued for their scales as much as for their meat. The evidence points to coronavirus research being carried out at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The virus may have been carried out of the lab by an infected worker or crossed over to humans when they unknowingly dined on a lab animal. Whatever the vector, Beijing authorities are now clearly scrambling to correct the serious problems with the way their labs handle deadly pathogens. China has unleashed a plague on its own people. It's too early to say how many in China and other countries will ultimately die from their failures, but the human cost will be high. But not to worry, Xi has assured us that he's controlling biosecurity risks, quote, to protect the people's health. I doubt the Chinese people will find that very reassuring, and neither should we. So, anyway, pretty interesting article. Now, I'm not much of a conspiracy theory guy, but where there's smoke, there's fire. So, and now it's coming to, and now it's coming to Costa. It's coming to Costa Mesa. Matt going to Montana. Almarine Radio, expeditionary. Jack and Joe, expeditionary. Canines. All right. There's a couple other interesting stories, right? One is about Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, as she's known. She's got some interesting stuff going on. So, interesting article about her. Bernie Sanders, right? The meltdown of my mother's Democratic Party. My mother would be pissed. My mother would be smoking her parliaments like they were going out of style, for the love of God. Right? The Democratic Socialists of the United States? That's her Democratic Party? Oh my God, she'd be having a conniption fit. Seriously. But Bernie Sanders, right? Taking a clear lead. Now the question is, does anything change on Super Tuesday? Right? Mike Bloomberg, with all his money, can he turn any of that around? Can he turn any of that around? So, pretty interesting little event in Nevada, right? And then you have the meltdown of James Carville again and Chris Matthews again. Carville said, quote, I got to find the article because he's hilarious. Anybody who thinks that Bernie Sanders is going to beat Donald Trump is stupid, right? James Carville. And then Chris Matthews likened Bernie Sanders winning the Democratic nomination to the Germans rolling into France. Like, okay, now I'll see if I can track down that audio this morning. Pretty amazing stuff, though. Pretty amazing stuff. So what happened to the Democratic Party? How did it get taken over by the fringe element on the left side of it? And where does that give people in the middle of the country? Where do they go? Anyhow. We'll talk about that this morning. So on a Monday, good morning. Alex Holling's going to join us in about 41 minutes. So we'll catch up with Alex today. Yesterday was the 75th anniversary of both flag raisings atop Mount Suribachi. The first one done by a patrol that headed up there, expected to meet great resistance. They did not, much to their own surprise. And then the second time the flag went up was a working party. Got to get the first flag down because, you know, if it's left up there, Marines going to steal that thing, right? We're not going to be able to find it. So raise it and then go get another flag, which they did. Gave it to a working party who kind of went up the hill, right? Not with the same... not with the same anxiousness that the first patrol went up there, right? And they get up there, and there's Marines, you know, milling about smartly up on top of the Mount Suribachi, and they got to find a drainage pole because they're supposed to, a drainage pipe or something to stick this thing in the ground. They find it, you know. Now they're using some kind of comm wire to lash the flag to a pole, and then they're going to stick it in the ground. So that's what they're doing, a working party. So they go up there, and Ira Hayes and Mike Strank and PFC Schultz, Harlan Block, and what's his name? The new guy, Peanut is his nickname. I'll get his name here in a second. But they stick it in the ground. And the second they're sticking it in the ground, somebody takes a picture. And that picture becomes one of the most famous pictures ever in America, and certainly in American history. and one of the most reproduced images ever in the history of the world. So the flag raising on Iwo Jima 75 years ago yesterday. So, yeah. So good morning to you. Welcome to All Marine Radio on Monday, another expeditionary week for the program. We head to Orlando on Wednesday to speak on Thursday. Actually been working all weekend on that. Yeah, rehearsing. Rehearsing post-traumatic winning is no small deal. You know, it's about a three-hour production, and I'm trying to get it down to about 2 hours and 10 minutes. And what I try to do is not to eliminate stuff. I just try to shorten a whole series of things to get it down. And so so what I have in front of me is a matrix, right? And the presentation is in sections, right? And you know, you do it and you time it, and then you tweak it and you time it, right? And there's how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 different pieces of audio video in it. It's about 25 minutes of audio and video in the presentation. And and you do it and you time it and you time it and you do it and you time it and you try to refine it. So anyway, so I've been doing that all weekend. Actually, I was up till 2 a.m. last night doing it. In an effort to make sure that even though it's not the extended version of it, it is, it's just as good and maybe in some ways even better. So that's how I spent my weekend. I watched a little baseball. I was pretty excited about that. Yeah. Yankees were on a couple times over the weekend. So I was fired up. So baseball now until November. So that makes me happy. And that's good. So anyhow, good morning to you on this Monday. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. And this is dedicated to the Marines who, both sets of them, that went up that mountain that day. Many of them never came home to the hero's welcome that their nation had in store for them. And so God bless them. And this is dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather, to include shithole weather. So, yeah, I don't know why. I remember today. I'm looking at a story that says judges denied Roger Stone's request that she be removed from deciding whether he gets a new trial. I don't rightly understand that if you're part of that jury and you are part of an opposing political party and you're tweeting about the President of the United States and the trial during, how do you look at that and say, yeah, that she went there with no bias? It's pretty stunning to me, you know, and I think Roger Stone's a weird dude. But again, justice is supposed to be blind. All of a sudden that comes out that during the trial she's tweeting about it. I mean, what the hell? I mean, honestly, you know, this country's scary from the standpoint that, you know, things that you grew up believing in, you watch the FBI's conduct and all the rest of this shit. You know? And, I mean, the president was busting balls over the weekend, but he's got a point, right? Intel briefing last week that Russia's trying to help Bernie Sanders, right? Should we get Robert Mueller involved in it again? Oh, no, that'd be ridiculous. Why? Wasn't ridiculous before. Anyhow, I digress. Currently, cloudy and 48 in Quantico. My point is this. Institutions, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, right? When you see the political bias that crept in to the FISA system, that crept into the conduct of the FBI, the conduct of people in the Justice Department, that's scary shit, man. That makes Sean, and the worst part is it makes guys like Sean Hannity right when they scream about the deep state. That there are those actors that will put their hand on the scale of justice. And so, I mean, to me, I don't... Like, look, he's a weird dude. He should go to jail. 9 years? Probably not. Okay? I think we all agree. Well, if you don't agree with that, then I don't know what to say to you. Okay? But... does not even come close, in my opinion, to passing the sniff test. Currently partly cloudy in 48 in Quantico. Cloudy in 57, I'm sorry, at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. 29 Palms, straight up warm, man. Sunny in 59. Pendleton, partly sunny in 53. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 64. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 68. Lashkar Gah, early in the evening in Afghanistan. It's warmed up there considerably. Clear dark in 63. Used to be in the 40s. And in Iraq, a little bit further to the southwest, in Ramadi, it is dark cloudy in 65. So, warming up. Yeah, warming up in the West Asia. Mac, what are the odds that Harvey Weinstein ditches that walker that he's using after his first trial? Well, I have to say this about that. I don't know how many more trials he has. I think he'll ditch it after the last trial, that's for sure. From Webster, Massachusetts, shithole weather is on the move, getting taxes done today. Southbridge, Massachusetts. Southbridge is known for, well, it's known for being a shithole. In 2011, a tornado tore through this part of town. Property values went up post-tornado. Enough said. Oh, wow. Today, sunny, sunny, and more sun. 29 degrees with a high of 54. Wow. Winds out of the southwest at 5 to 9, gusting to 23. Clouding up overnight with some rain. Chris from Webster out. Just a note, Jacksonville, Vermont is 771 miles from Jacksonville, North Carolina. Better skiing in Vermont. And then a picture of the post office in Jacksonville, Vermont. Here's an email from Andy Milburn. From, no music sounds weird, doesn't it? Good morning from Churchbridge, Mac. A mix of sun and clouds with a north wind at 6. Looking for a temperature of 9 degrees above zero this afternoon, all the way up to 23 degrees above zero with the wind chill at 14 above. So that's all tolerable. Photo from yesterday in Yorkton of the co-op gas station. Everything looks good at the co-op, I can tell you that. From Nancy from Pleasantville, mostly sunny and 41 today. On the way to 52. Winds out of the southwest at 6 to 8. Going to be warmer than Erie, yes. From the First Sergeant in Hickory, North Carolina. 47 and cloudy with periods of light rain. Chance of rain is 90%. Rainfall near a quarter of an inch. Overnight low of 46. And he sent me a picture. What is this? Oh. This is a picture from Iwo Jima. I haven't even read the caption yet. Photos circa 1988. But it's a either carving or a painting done on a rock on Iwo Jima. Here's another one of an Amtrak off the western coast of Iwo Jima. Wow, that's awesome. Look at that. The western beaches are where a lot of Marines left Okinawa from. They pulled the... There was too much debris on the eastern beaches where they attacked onto. And so a lot of them bathed, took a bath in the ocean water, frolicked in the surf for a day and a half, and then got on ships and went back to get ready for the invasion of Japan. There you have it. From Vacaville. Good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville. 48 clear. Winds 6 to 12 out of the northwest. Looking for a high of 74 today. Is Cox working today? No, he's getting his taxes done. The dude never works, man. The next time he says, hey, man, I'm working, I'm hard at it, will be the first time I've heard that from Chris Cox in a while. Here's a picture of Big Dave's Jeep in his garage. Got his dog sitting on some kind of mat. Actually, it's off the ground, kind of an elevated mat. How do you get your dog to lay on that? Yeah. Keeps him off the concrete, though, I guess. So in the winter, that's a good thing. Summer, dogs like concrete. Kind of cool. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check some news headlines. Yeah, here's an email. Mac, holy smokes. That does sound kind of stupid to me. Quarantining people in a city, doesn't that defy the logic of a quarantine? Let's quarantine them in America's second most populated city. That makes sense to me. What a bunch of idiots. And we wonder why the world is going to hell. Whoever had this idea... let's fire them today, not tomorrow, as your kids would say. Exactly. How funny. Yeah. No, I saw it and I thought, you know, what is this? And then I saw the NBC News report this morning and I thought, well, let me take a look at it. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me, man. Does this person actually get paid by the government? And this is what you, this is the bullshit you give us? Hey, find me some abandoned centers in urban areas where we can quarantine people. Well, excuse me, sir, but I wasn't privy to the small group meeting, but aren't we supposed to quarantine them in remote areas so this thing doesn't spread? Because, I mean, what happens if they go to a supermarket and spread the virus and, you know, to a worker there and then it gets spread? That thing will be out of control in short order. Oh, yeah. Mr. Genius over there just came into the meeting, huh? Oh, you don't think we've thought about that? And then they look around like, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, come on. And so a judge is going to rule on it here at 2 o'clock locally. God help us. Montana man, stand by.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wonder where you are and live with all your faults. I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all, so why don't you smile?
I shared with you on Friday an email I got right in the middle of the show to show you how cool my life is. And then yesterday, I'm getting ready to rehearse, and people keep calling me. Yeah, no kidding. And so I get a call from George, my friend from Texas, George Mendoza. And he says, Mac, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing, man. What are you doing? He's like, well, I'm driving. I said, all right. So what's going on? And he said, I've taken up a little bit of a hobby. I said, oh, really? What is that? He said, well, I want to kind of get into ironwork, like a blacksmith and like a farrier, like Montana Man's a farrier. I don't know what it is. Farrier. And so he wants to do that. And I said, hey, Montana Man does that, man. If you want to talk to him, I'll put you in touch with him. He goes, yeah, I might take you up on that. He said, but let me tell you what happened. I said, okay. He said, so I meet this guy online, and we kind of talk, and he's, you know, he's going to kind of teach me, you know. So I went out to meet him in person and hang out with him and blah, 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 blah. And got it. And he said, so we're standing there talking, and, you know, the guy says something about, yeah, this helps me with my PTSD. And Mendoza's like, oh. Yeah. And so he starts talking to the guy. Hey, I think I could maybe help you. And so they strike up a conversation. George tells him about All Marine Radio. And so anyway, and he says, look, man, I just want to tell you, it's like way cool stuff. I said, tell me about it, man. And I told him about, you know, just these things that fall, you know, into my lap, out of the sky, into my lap on almost a daily basis now. And I said, and now let me tell you, it's going to happen to you. You're going to change this guy's life. And then as he bumps into other people, just like you bumped into him, as he bumps into other people, he's going to shoot you an email and say, man, how do I ever thank you for changing my life? This is the coolest thing going. And so it's awesome stuff. Yeah. It just fell into my lap over the weekend. To follow up on something, I said I didn't know who sang with Kendrick Lamar on the song All the Stars. All right. This is from Beverly. I've been awake since 4:30, so I listened to yesterday's podcast again. Enjoying research, I decided to find out the female's name, first by reading comments under the YouTube video, and I lucked out. Her name is SZA, right? The comment said her voice is hypnotic. Her initials are on the YouTube title, SZA. Solana Imani Rowe, known professional as SZA, is an American singer and songwriter. She says she's doing interviews. I read a few articles which have similar content, making me wonder if it is a cry for post-traumatic winning help. In a recent tweet, my anxiety over 0.3% to do with outside opinion. I was bullied all through high school. I could care less. It's my own thoughts that hit different. Thankfully, I have no plans for the day. And my yawn signaled that sleep is imminent, so Bev went back to bed. So there you have it. Solana Imani Rowe. Maybe we should get her on the program. And we should change her. We should change her life. Right? Not a bad way to spend your days, man. Not a bad way to spend your days. All right. Let's check some news headlines. Top stories in Stars and Stripes. U.S. Forces Korea dependent test positive for coronavirus, putting the military on high alert in South Korea. The widow of a retired soldier who recently visited stores on a southeastern base tested positive for the new coronavirus in the first confirmed case for the Army in South Korea, officials say. How's it get to Korea? Right? Next story. Furlough of South Korean workers would have negative impact on military operations and readiness, U.S. Forces Korea commander says. Now, that is a threat based on, hey, if we don't find a greater cost-sharing agreement with South Korea, given the fact that we're defending their nation, then we're going to have to take steps to rein some of this stuff in. Anyway, so that's in the news. The Navy's 7th Fleet to screen all personnel boarding ships amid coronavirus threat. The 7th Fleet has begun screening, right, 7th Fleet out in the Pacific, all personnel assessing its warships and aircraft as the new coronavirus continues to spread across parts of Asia, U.S. Navy officials said. What a nightmare, right? And what kind of test can you do? Does it show? Yep. Bing! Coronavirus. At this time, there are no indications that any 7th Fleet personnel have been affected. What's the test? The 7th Fleet's checks will include questionnaires and self-reporting opportunities, as well as other medical screening. That's it? Now I'm curious about the test for coronavirus. Army closes schools, activity centers in Vicenza to guard against coronavirus. Man, this is like all coronavirus all the time. All dependent schools and activity centers in Vicenza, Italy, in the military community, will close Monday through Wednesday, the Army announced, as Italy scrambles to respond to the spread of coronavirus. An Army statement said Sunday that the temporary closings, which affect fitness centers, theaters, and chapels, were a precautionary measure, and that so far there have been no confirmed cases within Vicenza and the military communities at Derby and Gedi. However, Italian authorities are alarmed by the spread of the virus, especially in northern Italy, since a Chinese tourist couple was diagnosed this month in Rome. Yikes. Since then, Italy has recorded 152 confirmed cases, the largest number outside of Asia, according to the Associated Press. In a statement, the Army recommended that personnel in Vicenza area stay close to home, minimize interactions with crowds, including restaurants, malls, and theaters, and wash your hands frequently with warm water and soap. So, yeah, that's in Italy. Trump the president expresses optimism relative to the U.S. peace deal with the Taliban. Right, I saw Jack Keane a little bit ago talking about that he believes that the Taliban want peace because they're tired of fighting as well. I don't know about that. And again, the Taliban. There is no the Taliban. So anyhow, a soldier in Iraq spots a Chicago area burglar on his doorbell camera. Listen to this story, man. This is how life has changed a little bit, right? A soldier was able to stop burglars from thousands of miles away with the help of a doorbell camera. Richard Wharton, who was deployed to Iraq, told police that he got an alert on his phone around lunch or 2:30 a.m. in Park Ridge, Illinois. His camera had spied two men trying to break into his garage, according to WGN in Chicago. Quote, he saw it and watched it and communicated great with us and called us right away, said Tom Gadomski from the Park Ridge Police Department. Hey, I'm Joe Blow. I'm in Iraq. Somebody break into my garage. We had officers right in the area and found the offenders and took them into custody. Wharton reportedly saw the thieves walking off with power tools and other items from his garage. And those guys, charged with three counts of burglary, are probably already out and have stole other shit from other people, right? Such as America's commitment to criminal justice. Next story. New Army training team heads to Africa. The decision to send a couple hundred soldiers from the 1st Security Force Assistance Brigade has been in the work for months, and it's the next step in the Army's broader plan to use the training teams to free other brigades who have been working as advisors to move on to other combat jobs. You know, the Army kind of sending mixed messages relative to Africa, yeah? You know, first the Secretary of Defense says, yeah, Africa, not so much. Then Europe says, whoa, 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 what's going on? You can't leave there. We need you there. We have interest there. Well, why don't you send your fucking military down here? What? You want us to do what? Yeah, we want you to invest in your military, and then you might want to deploy them to areas that you need them for your own economic interest. Oh. Holy shit. All right. Sad news over the weekend. And it's here in Stars and Stripes, but a midshipman died, you know, just saw him playing in a football game. Navy midshipman David Fornor, an offensive lineman for Navy's football team. He was found dead in his room at the Naval Academy over the weekend. So, sad news for obviously the Naval Academy community and certainly devastating news for his family. So keep them certainly in your thoughts and prayers. The USS Ross enters the Black Sea. Movements monitored by the Russians. The Navy trying to continue to sell their $40 billion savings to the Congress linked to its force structure assessment. So they continue to sell. Congress said, we're not buying it, especially senators and congressmen from areas where they're supposed to build ships. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Here's an interesting story and an interesting little picture on it. And the headline is Navy researching new class of medium amphibious ships and new logistics ships. And it shows a ship that is nothing but a platform, right, all the way to the front. It looks like an old LCU. Right? So not very long, maybe a couple hundred feet in length. And it's got over the well deck, it's got a helicopter platform. And then in the back, it has looks like it has some berthing space. right? The Navy's research and development portfolio will devote $30 million to a next-generation medium amphibious ship design, which will likely be based on an Australian design stern landing vessel. Whoa. Here's a video of the stern landing vessel. Here you go. Hold on. Stern landing vessels, solution for heavy lifts in remote areas and unprepared beaches. The stern is the back end. Conventional landing craft, right? So they show you a conventional landing craft, right? With the bow that goes down and all of that. And then they show you, here's the stern landing craft. So you could put in all the gear, right? It's wider, it's sturdier. So it's no audio other than the music. It has good visibility from the wheelhouse. Shows a guy in his navy blue coat steering the ship. The officer of the deck, no doubt. Beaching and de-beaching. Right? Grounded hull, propellers working inefficiently in reverse. This is the old version. The new version, right? Everything's in the back, slides up on an unprepared beach, puts its ramp down. Different machinery displacement. They're wider and longer. And you have a deck to take at least one helicopter, as well as accommodate, you know, human beings on the flight deck as well. Yeah, the medium amphibious lift capability. I'll put the link in the post if I remember. Oh crap! All right, top five stories in early bird. And then I'll get Alex Hollings here as I screw around and don't pay attention to the time. Top five stories in early bird today are as follows. One, Trump expresses optimism for U.S. peace deal with Taliban. That, you know, that could change at any second. Two, U.S. forces Korea say schools to remain closed this week as South Korean takes unprecedented steps to fight the coronavirus. Three, Naval Academy mourns tragic death of a midshipman. Four, Pentagon officials keeping an eye on morale at nuclear bases. Five, U.S. can't continue tolerating Russian noncompliance on open skies, according to Esper. So, and a couple headlines from overseas operations. As a peace deal looms, Taliban tells fighters to avoid enemy areas and calls for self-defense. Well, that's interesting. Is that a PR, you know, event or what? Number two, troops in South Korea could face loss of services as government argue over funding. We talked about that. All right, that's it. We'll take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings will join us. We'll catch up with him. More of All Marine Radio on this Monday morning here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.